Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
I'm so grateful for Jesus. Aren't you grateful for Jesus today? You know? So we're starting a brand new series. I'm going to challenge you this morning with a very important series of messages, I believe. So let's bow our heads and let's ask God's presence here. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, thank you that you want to speak to us this morning. You want to touch our hearts. You want us to hear this message. So open up our ears to hear. Open up our hearts to believe the truth of your word. Help us to be strong men and women and people who just accept the challenge of God and say, yes, I'll do it, Lord. Can you put your hand on your heart this morning? Say, my heart is open. My mind is open. I'm ready to receive what you want to say to me this morning. I'm ready to obey it now too, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, starting a new series called Just Walk Across the Room. The single greatest gift. I want to say, you know, this is, I'm so glad that you're here for this four-week series. Because this four-week series is going to greatly challenge you, I believe. And it has the power to radically change the way that you and I view this great category of Christianity called, what we call here at City Light, reaching people for Jesus. Or another name for it is evangelism. Okay, right away, when you heard that, some people, when you heard that word evangelism, it sent a bit of a terror up your spine, didn't it? Right? So if that's you, I want to tell you, just relax. Just relax this morning, because this series is meant to cause you to have a paradigm. You know what a paradigm is? It's a change in the way that you think. This series is meant to cause a paradigm in the way that you think about evangelism. Okay, so evangelism, according to this series, can be as simple as taking a walk across the room. Can we do that? Can you do that one? Can you do that? Everybody agree? You can all do that, right? So I want to introduce you to you, the author of this series by video, and that's Bill Hybels. Bill Hybels is a tremendous man of God. I believe he's from Chicago. He's a pastor. And I think sound guys, and we have some technical difficulties this morning, but you know, let's see if we can get this video up, and it's called The Single Greatest Gift, and Bill Hybels is going to set the foundation for this series, okay? Let's see if we can get it going.
Talk to get all freaked out when they hear the word evangelism. They think they have to master this massive amount of apologetic information. They think they have to have a different personality than God gave them. They think that it's just some formidable challenge that they can never rise to. And so often I find that it's the short, rather accessible little steps or walks or deeds that you do. It's not giving long speeches. It's mostly about friendship. It's not backing someone into a corner. It's just kind of pointing to Christ in ways that are natural for you. And I think if more people would do just the small thing that they can do, take a walk here, stretch out an arm here, say a word here, live your faith every day in a humble and kind of genuine way, I think a lot of people would find that they would be touching a lot more lives than they think.
Hey, man, did you catch the gist of that last statement? He said if we could just all do that one small thing that we could do, we would impact and we would touch a lot more lives. Did you hear that? So here's the question. Isn't that what we want to do? Isn't that what we want to do? Don't we want to touch a lot more lives of people that we know, people that we love, people who are far away from God? Don't you want to do that? I believe that should be natural in our heart to want to do that, right? You touch people who are far from God. So this just walk across the room metaphor, I'll maybe shorten it and call it JWAR, right? So just walk across the room metaphor finds its roots in the story of a man who's really far from God. But one day, his entire life changes because of one Christ follower, one Christian meets him and has an encounter and touches his life. So guess how it all began? Anybody got an answer? It all started when he took a walk across the room. Okay, so here's the Muslim man's story of how he came to faith in Christ. It all starts with Bill Hybels being invited to this luncheon at this fancy ballroom, and all the guests arrive, and they all find their seats around the table. And there are people that immediately Bill Hybels he doesn't recognize any of these people, but he does see that they're all different type of people. They're different ethnicities, different colors, and so on. But they're very different. And then right across the table from him is this tall African-American gentleman. And he looks kind of like a linebacker, right? And so all the people are told to introduce themselves one by one. They go around the table. When this man gives his names, it sounds distinctly Muslim. And so after the introductions, the meal begins. And at one point of the meal, the man makes eye contact with Bill, and he says, and he mouths the words, "I love your books." And so here's how Bill writes it. He said, I looked over my shoulder to see if there was some famous author standing behind me. So he says, there wasn't. So I said, me? And he said, yeah, you. We'll talk later. And he had this huge grin on his face. So after lunch, this guy pulls Bill aside and he says to him, now, I understand this is probably a little confusing because you assume that I am Muslim. Let me tell you a quick story. I've been a Muslim my whole adult life. Being an African-American Muslim in a southern city and being in a profession that I am in, it has not always been easy. As you might imagine, I have had some struggles in social settings. And then he said, in the profession I'm in, we have a lot of cocktail parties, a lot of evening events, and the natural course for me at these parties is that I'm served a drink, I get some hors d'oeuvres, and I try to make some business contacts in the room. Inevitably, I wind up standing alone at most parties until enough time has elapsed, and I feel that I can gracefully make an exit. And then I suddenly leave. And this whole dynamic is just something that I've learned to live with. And then the Muslim went on to tell Bill that one night at such a party, when he was at such a party, he found himself with a drink in one hand and a plate of food in another hand. And all the people were gathering around, and their groups, and they were laughing, they were chatting, they were talking. But he was standing there all alone. Nothing to do, nothing to say, looking awkward, and looking out of place. But then he notices this guy on the other side of the room who was in his comfortable circle with his own kind and his own color. And then he notices that the guy notices him, and he looks towards him. And he sees this Muslim guy standing about 10 feet away, and to this Muslim man's amazement, the guy actually excused himself, turned away from his group, walked across the room, extended his hand, introduced himself, then asked for the Muslim man's name. Boy said, from there, they started to talk, and the conversation was smooth. It was natural. They began to talk about their mutual profession, about their families, about sports, other interests, so on, hobbies. But eventually, the issue of faith came up. And this African-American gentleman told Bill, it was at that point of the conversation when he became a little reticent because he expected an unfavorable reaction when he would tell the man that he was a Muslim. But he took the risk anyway. He took the risk, and to his surprise, this is what the Christian guy said to him. He said, well, I'm a Christ follower, but truth be told, I know almost nothing about Islam. Hey, I wonder if you would do me the courtesy sometime, maybe over breakfast one day, of giving me the Cliff's Notes version of your faith system. You know, why you committed yourself to Islam. Hearing your story would be pretty interesting to me. The Muslim man almost fainted, surprised that this Christ follower would operate with such grace, with such openness. And so the two agreed to meet together over breakfast the next day, and the conversation was great. And then they decided to meet again. And then they met over a series of weeks. These two men got together over coffee. And finally, the Muslim man realized that, hey, there's this Christian guy, and he's been such a good listener all this time. He's been a good listener. Week after week, they get together, and this Christian man had never judged this Muslim man's options or decisions that he's made in his life. He's never tried to wedge his own agenda into the conversation. You know, like week after week, he just shows up. He's a great listener. He has genuine interest in this Muslim man's life. And so the Muslim man is telling Pastor Bill this story. And here's the rest of the story. He says to Bill, now, I didn't really remember that much about the Christian faith. I'd been a Christian at some point in my childhood, but the racism in our community had infiltrated my church's family. How sad is that, eh? Eventually, we just left the faith altogether. It doesn't take a genius to know when you're not wanted. But for some reason, I was prompted during one of our breakfast meetings to say, you've been such a good listener all this time. Would you be willing to refresh my memory on the Christian faith? From there, it all happened so easily, so respectfully, sensitively, and to make a long story short, many months later, after determining that Christianity was a superior faith system, I committed myself to Jesus Christ, and it has made an unbelievable change in my life, Bill. I am part of a local church now, and that is where I came across some of the books that you've written. I can't tell you the difference this whole thing has made in my life and in the lives of all my family members. Here's premise number one. Week one premise on your PowerPoint. The single greatest gift. The single greatest gift Christ followers can give to the people around them is an introduction to the God who created them, who loves them, and who has a purpose for their life. Amen. Nothing beats that. No recognition, no money, no accolades, no job opportunity beats that, right? This is what evangelism amounts to, right? Constantly looking for ways to give this single greatest gift to someone living far from God. Amen? See, it's all about being open. It's all about being usable to God. If you're going to be used by God, then you've got to be willing to pull yourself away, extricate yourself from your circles of comfort, and be willing to meet someone who needs hope. Only the hope that only you and I as believers can give. Amen? So, on your PowerPoint, question. What will it take to give the single greatest gift to someone we know? You know what it's going to take? Point number one. Next point. You got to be willing to enter the what? Come on, say it with me. You got to be willing to enter the zone of the unknown. All right, let me reset the scenario for you. Next slide. Here's a picture. This picture represents one Christ follower standing in his conversational comfort, comfortable circle of comfort, right? This circle, it's easy to be in, it's comfortable, it's conversational, nothing unsafe can happen in it, right? It's very comfortable, and we've all been in that place, right? That's where he was. And this guy had every reason just to stay in that little comfortable circle. But he turns and he looks across the room and he sees. And he really sees someone who needs perhaps a little bit of encouragement, just a little bit of friendship. Right? Next slide. But not only does he see, look and see, he also feels something. And then he hears something from the Holy Spirit who tells him, why don't you go over there across the room and meet that guy and extend your hand to him, a hand of friendship. So, this guy, he saw the situation, he felt something, and he heard a prompting of the Holy Spirit. And then he actually said to people who were standing around in his circle of comfort, please excuse me. Now remember, he had no idea what's going to happen when he walks across that room and he puts his hand out to a stranger. He has no idea what the conversation is going to be like. He has no idea what the reaction of the individual is going to be like, right? He's already left his comfortable circle and there's no turning back, right? And so, next slide. And so, what does he do? No, go back to that one. What does he do? He walks. He walks, probably praying every step of the way. He walks, he leaves his comfortable circle, and he enters the zone, what we call the zone of the unknown. Let me ask you, have you ever been there? Has anybody ever been there? Yeah, we've been there, right? We've been in that zone. Here's what Bill Hybels sees. It's in the zone of the unknown where God often does his best work. His best work. You know, this is such a simple image of evangelism, isn't it? Just a simple image of evangelism, just a few steps across the room. So here's the question. How much kingdom building impact did this one decision that this guy make? What did it make? Did it have any kingdom impact? Yeah, it had kingdom impact. Did heaven react when this guy took a few steps across the room and the guy responded? Yeah. When just one person receives Christ, heaven shuts down. Do you know that? What happens? Anybody know? Angels celebrate. When that happened, when that man accepted Christ, that Muslim man accepted Christ, I believe the angels started high-fiving. I believe that they were unfurling banners with the names of the businessman and his family members written on the moment they crossed the line of faith. And it all happened just because one guy decided to take a walk and to offer his friendship and his message of salvation to someone who was so far from Christ and headed to a Christless eternity, right? So the question is this, is it worth the risk? Is it worth the risk for us to do that? So, yeah, it is worth. Here's a quote from the Just Walk Across the Room book that should really stop us in our tracks. Listen to this. This is what Pastor Bill writes. The day that Christ followers like you and me stop taking walks across rooms in this manner, the day we stay glued to our comfortable circles of comfort, refuse to walk, refuse to enter the zone of the unknown, the day Christ followers like you and me stop doing that sort of stuff, it's lights out for the kingdom of God here on earth. It's the beginning of the end of the redemptive history. It's the slow defeat of the church, the bride of Christ. It's the end of the dream of Christ that people on earth would come to know him. Wow. You know, I believe this. Like, we don't have enough people here. I wish we had 10 times the people here. This is so important. You know, I believe that every single, what the Holy Spirit wants to do right now, that the very priority of God is to make every single person in this room, every single believer in Christ, a walk across the room type of person, right? Every single one. Everyone, whether, it doesn't matter, regardless of your age, your gender, your personality, your spiritual gift mix, right? Or even your experience of what you've done for God up to this point in time. God wants you. You know, I believe if you're a true blue believer in Jesus Christ, then the Holy Spirit wants you to walk. He wants you to walk. And he wants you to get in front of people and make a difference with people. People that you meet every day, right? People you see at school, people at work, people at the gym. Where else do you meet people? Social settings, people at your kids' soccer games and baseball games, every single one. He, you know, all those places, God wants us to meet those people, right? You know, sometimes I wonder as a Christian, am I making a difference? You know, or am I really using my faith? You know, maybe as a Christian, you're wondering, why am I not growing in my faith? Right? Why am I not just rocketing ahead in my spiritual maturity, in my spiritual development? Could it be that we're clinging to our circles of comfort, that we're not even glancing towards a zone of the unknown, let alone even walk towards it? Could it be that? No. You know, like the question is, how does that happen? Like, how does that happen? How do we get to that point where we don't do that? You know, like, you think about it. We've received the mercy of God, the grace of God, forgiveness of God, the cleansing of God, and somehow, you know, we simply forget how personal and how powerful the cross of Jesus Christ is to us, right? We forget about that. You know, the question is, why would we think that anyone, that why would you think that people would not be interested in hearing about the greatest life-changing, the heart-transforming, the eternity-altering relationship that every single person needs, right? Why would we think that? That's a good question, isn't it? So, in order to give this greatest single gift to someone, we have to be willing to enter the zone of the unknown, right? But really, there's more. Because with God's help, without God's help, we could actually do more harm than good once we get there. Have you ever done that? You've kind of just gone and said, I want to tell my friend about Jesus. You know, you do it without the Holy Spirit, and you're just bulldozing your way in. You're just turning that person off. Ever done that? That can happen. So here's point number two. This is so important. You got to listen for the Spirit's prompting. In order for us to be effective in the zone of the unknown, we got to be led by the Holy Spirit. We got to hear the promptings of the Holy Spirit. I want to share we did this series a long time ago. Maybe some of you don't even remember. So I used this example too, this last time, about the time I had taken a trip to the Philippines. I've been to the Philippines, I can't remember for sure, at least three times, maybe four times, but I remember about maybe that second trip, I went with a team of 10 people. I was one of the 10. Four of us were pastors, and they're from different churches. And I remember we had an incredible time. We were at Ding and Mona's ministry there in New Hope to Asia in Manila. We went and spent a lot of time with Jeff Pacina, Rowena in San Pablo, in the front lines of ministry. I did a lot of speaking, a lot of preaching. At the end of the 3 weeks, man, I was ready to go home. I mean, it's great to go out there, but it's so good to be home too as well. And I remember, you know, coming back to the, you know, on the return flight to the airport, we're all sitting around, and we're looking at all our seat numbers, And I realized that, you know, everybody's sitting together, all the people are sitting together except me. All nine are sitting together in the same area, and I'm sitting way at the back of the plane, right near the bathroom. It's the most best place you want to be, right? And I'm thinking, you know, God, how does that happen? And I'm thinking, you know what? I'm tired. I'm burnt out. I'm feeling burnt out. And I got a little bit of a bug in my stomach. Didn't feel that well. I thought, you know, God, that's your blessing. That's got to be a blessing of God. I don't have to talk to anyone. I'm going to sit there, and I'm just going to vegetate, and I'm going to sleep. I'm going to just have a good time. Thank you, Jesus, right? And also, I'm sitting there in the back of the plane. The plane is filling up, and I know there's still a few seats here and there. I took my bag, and I put it right beside me so that nobody would sit in there inadvertently, right? I'm praying, God, don't let anybody come. I want to sit by myself. Nobody, sit over there. Sit over there, but not over here. I'm thinking. And then the plane is ready to take off. But there's this lady, this middle-aged lady. She kind of looked like a hippie. She's trudging down the aisleway. And I'm thinking, not over here, not over there. Sit over there, sit over there. Don't sit over here. Come on. You know, and I'm praying, you know. And soon she walks up. She looks up. The number, she says, I'm sitting right there. I thought, oh, great. I'm thinking that. I didn't say that out loud, but I'm thinking that, right? And at that very moment, I felt the Holy Spirit say, "This, Doug, this is not about you." He says, I've got you sitting here for a purpose. I thought, is that God or is that the devil speaking to me? I thought, no, I just want my time. You know, so I thought, okay, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to try to force anything. I'm just going to sit there. I had a nap. I slept. Woke up a bit later. It's a long flight. And I reached into my bag and I pulled out this book. It was by Jim Gall. It's called The Lost Art of Intercession, a Christian book. Put it down on my tray in front of me. Hadn't said hardly a word to this woman. Immediately when I put it down, she looked at it and she said to me, I know that book. I've got that book. I thought, and then it started this conversation. I said, okay, you're doing something here, God. But I thought, well, she's already saved. She's got a Christian book. And I said, and I started talking to her. I found out, she gives me her life story. She's a Catholic. She knows about God, hadn't accepted Jesus. And so we're talking about this, and she gives me her whole life story. She was born and raised in Quebec, moved her whole family coming over to Strathmore, I think by Calgary there, and her whole life fell apart. I can't remember all the details, but so many bad things happened. She says she doesn't even want to live anymore, you know. She's so disappointed with life. She says, yeah, and she explained that a friend gave her that book to try to encourage her to get her to read it. And I started talking about her faith and her relationship with God, share some of my things too as well. I said, you know, have you accepted Christ into your heart? You know God. You know about God. But have you personally accepted Christ into your heart? She said, no, I haven't. And the Holy Spirit said, lead her through that prayer. And I said, okay. I says, you want to say this prayer after me? I said, and I explained the whole thing, and God will come into your heart. And I led this prayer, simple, short prayer. And she was weeping when she was saying this prayer. And at the end of the prayer, she looked up, and man, she looked different. She looked like you could see this glow. She said, I feel different. I feel so good. What is that? I says, Jesus. Jesus in your heart. Wow. Praise the Lord, eh? Praise the Lord. I got her phone number. We phoned her back a few months later, and I told her, get into a good church. She got into a church. She was so excited about Jesus. Phoned her later the next year, still serving Jesus. Wow. Holy Spirit. We got to listen to this Holy Spirit's promptings. Sometimes we see, we hear, we feel, we move, and we go ahead and take the risks. Other times, it seems like we should take a move, but there's no opening, so what should we do? What should we do? Just listen. Just love. Just serve. That's all you're supposed to do, right? That's all you're supposed to do. Bill Hybels, the key Bill Hybels says is this. Fundamentally, being a walk across the room people means that we walk when the Spirit tells us to walk and don't walk when the Spirit says not to walk. That's what makes this thing dynamic and mystical and out of your control. And frankly, it's what keeps the edge and the adventure present in our Christian life. So true, isn't it? Here's what Jesus said about his followers. Who's his followers? Are you a follower? Here's what he said. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. What is Jesus saying there? You've got to have savor. You've got to have spiritual potency in your life. Amen? So, the salt, in order to be effective, needs something else. If it's going to be effective, you know what else it needs? Proximity. Proximity. Closeness. You've got to get the salt on something in order for it to affect that something, right? It's the same thing for us. You and I, we make zero impact unless we get close to people. Amen? You got to get close to people. How do you feel about that, guys? How do you feel about what I'm saying here? Yeah? Okay, that's really good. Good. But, you know, maybe they say, you know what? Based on the law of averages, when people hear a message like this, some of them are kind of pushed back. You know why they push back? Because maybe you're one of those right now. You're thinking, you know, Pastor Doug, I totally agree with you and what you're saying, but, you know, but I think this is, what you're saying is for the spiritual superstars, and I'm not one of them. I don't have the right teaching. I don't have the right confidence level. I don't have the right skill level, right? I don't have the quick mind. I don't have the relational abilities, right? I just don't have what it takes. I don't think I could do it. Can I say, if you're thinking that way, if you're even kind of feeling that way, you know, I can relate to you. I can really relate to you. I think just about anyone can relate to you, and even the most veteran of Christian people can relate to you. You know, like, oh man, this is tough. This feels too risky. Yeah, it's true. When you walk out of that comfortable circle, there's that bit of anxiety. There's a bit of worry sometimes when you leave that comfortable circle, you enter that zone of the unknown, and especially when that conversation begins to turn into spiritual territory, right? There's that bit of reservation. But I say, here's the underlying reality. When you and I, when we're in a right relationship with God, then our heart is open to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, right? In your heart, our heart should be open. There's an openness in our spirit to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And I say, the more real your relationship with Jesus is, the more you are able to dial in, to discern the Holy Spirit's promptings, the Holy Spirit's whisperings in your life. You know what the biggest problem with us is? I want to tell you, every one of us have that ability to hear from the Holy Spirit. But I tell you, you know what the biggest problem is? We don't take the time to stop and to listen. And we sometimes don't believe it. But the Holy Spirit constantly speaking to you and me all the time. Do you know that? It's not God's fault. It's not the Holy Spirit's fault, because he's very gentle. He's a whisper. You know, what do you got to do when somebody's whispering to you? What do you got to do? Yeah. Get into that. Lean in, right. Get out of that noise and get in that place. Say, you know what? I'm listening, Holy Spirit. What are you saying to me? And God will inevitably speak to you. I promise he'll speak to you if you decide to do it. And maybe you got to do it more than once to try to get into that group. But I believe that this is something that every single person in this room can do. Every single one of us can decide to learn to do it, to be equipped to do it, to be trained to do it. It is so simple. It's not rocket science. It's so very simple. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Let's read it together. Read it together. Okay, are you ready? Let's read it aloud. I mean, when I say aloud, I want aloud, okay? Are you ready?
Yep.
Ready? Let's go. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Powerful scripture.
Yeah.
Powerful scripture. You don't even know the power behind that scripture. You know, personally, I spent some time just reflecting on that scripture, what it meant for me. I want to share with you quickly just a bit about my spiritual journey. When I first came to Jesus, I was single. I was a guy of stars in my eyes. I wanted to be successful, a business guy, make lots of money, be recognized. You know, and my journey with Christ started out kind of rocky. And I remember receiving Christ in my heart, but struggling all the time to serve Jesus. And I wanted all these other things in my life that were bad for my life. And I was still struggling with a lot of sin and addictions and stuff. And I got this, but you know, I was saved. And I got a job at the local newspaper, the Lethbridge Herald. And I met this phenomenal guy named John. And you know, when you go into a new work setting and you know nothing, you don't know nothing about procedures or you know, this guy took me under his wing. He was the nicest guy ever. He talked to me. He showed me what to do. He guided me. And he was a Christian. He was actually an assistant pastor. And he met with me. He tried to encourage me in my faith. He saw that I was struggling, but he cared for me. You know, but maybe about a year later, I saw an opportunity to go work at another place, make more money, climb the success ladder. I got a job, applied at the local TV station. I got that job, and I was totally backslidden by that time. And about a year later, there's a job opening at the station, and guess who applies and gets it? Who? John gets it. I didn't want John to be there because he convicted me. I was living like hell anyway, but you know, you have some Christian, that's, anyway, you know what it's like, right? Maybe you don't. You don't have to know what it's like. But I remember, why did John have to, and you know what, my boss would pair him up with me. He says, you and Doug, you're going, John, you and Doug, you're going to go to this territory. We go to towns and we do advertising campaigns, you know? But here, long story short, I found out later that John loved his job at the Lethbridge Herald. He was a top salesman there, and he was making really good money. He loved his job there. He absolutely hated his new job at the television station. The only reason why John changed jobs was because God told him to go take a walk and to go after Doug. It's the only reason. He put his family on his line, put his career on his line, on the line. But because of John's prayers, his love, his patience, his witness, his care for me, my heart turned back to Jesus. And it was hard. Heart was hard. And I looked at that and I think, what a gift. What a gift, God. What a big gift from God. Not merely that God would feel that type of love for me, but that he would go to such an extent to demonstrate that type of love in such a radical manner. Amen? Bob says, Jesus demonstrated the love of the Father. On that PowerPoint, Philippians chapter 2, 5 and 8 talks about Jesus, his attitude. He made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance of a human being. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. You know, these verses are saying at some specific time in history, actual time and space, that Jesus walked all the way across the heavens, across the cosmos, across the universe, and he extended his redemptive hand to us. Amen? And because of that one walk, humankind could be saved and could be added to the family of God and enjoy eternal life forever. Just because of that, right? So the passage tells us that Jesus left the ultimate circle of comfort. He left heaven itself. He left the Trinity, the fellowship of the Trinity. He left the worship of angels, the adoration of angels. Jesus Christ took the longest walk a person could ever take. Amen? Yeah. Why would he do that? Why? So that he could reach out to people like you and me. People who are smack dab in just wrecking their lives in sin and they could do nothing about it themselves. Amen? That's why he did it. And he did it because every single person needs Jesus. Everyone needs Jesus. And everyone needs a great church to belong to. Amen? Amen. I'm not mad at you. Somebody said, you look mad at me. No. I'm so excited about Jesus. You know what? It doesn't just end there either. Here's another reason. There's another reason why Jesus took that walk. He also walked so that you and I could see how it's done. That's precisely why we're still here. You know, you're not finished. You got a job to do. You're to continue the work on that Jesus started, right? You're to become a walk across the room type of person, following Jesus' lead, doing exactly what Jesus did. Amen? No, I believe that the Holy Spirit is saying, God is saying to us today, I'm asking you to take a walk. I'm asking you to walk across the room. Walk across the restaurant. Walk across the gym floor. Walk across the street. Walk across your neighbor's lawn. Just walk across the street. Like, leave whatever comfortable circle that you're in. Enter the zone of the unknown, and something so exciting is going to happen. Amen? I just want you to do that. That's what God is saying. So that last point is just walk. Just walk. In John chapter 4 is the story of Jesus and his disciples. And they've been traveling for a few days. They come to a well. It's noontime. They're hot. They're hungry. They're tired. And they see this woman at Jacob's well. And they find out that this woman has been through 5 marriages. And she's now living with the guy. And the disciples say, hey, let's all hang together. Let's go into town. Let's get some lunch. We're hungry. Jesus says, no, I'm just going to break away from this circle for a little while. I've got something else to do. So what does Jesus do? He turns and he walks to the other side of the well, which literally, you know, surprises this woman. She's totally caught off guard because in that society, Jesus was not just walking across a typical room. He was walking across gender, racial, cultural, even man-made religious restrictions. Because of this woman's lifestyle, she was considered to be a sinner by the religious establishment. She was a sinner. She was also a Samaritan. Samaritans were Jewish half-breeds. Samaritans, you know, people didn't even walk near that town because if they walked near that town, they could be unclean, become spiritually unclean. But here's Jesus. Here's Jesus. He took the walk anyway. He violates all the protocols. He starts talking, having a conversation with someone he shouldn't even be talking to, right? And he starts with a simple topic of just drinking water from this well. And he turns into something much more serious in matter called living water, which is the term which is actually causes that woman to come to faith. This woman, when she hears about living water and receiving Jesus into her heart, she leaves her jar. She runs into town. She drags her friends and her neighbors back. And she tells them, you got to come hear this guy. He knows all about my sordid past. Yet he still accepts me. And he gives me something called grace. And so the townspeople come out. And he spent 2 days listening to Jesus. And at the end of those 2 days, many, many of those town people cross the line into a faith relationship with Jesus Christ, right? All because Jesus, the one man, took a walk across the room. Well, actually a patch of grass to reach out his hand to someone who is living so far from God. You know, we can be just like the disciples, can we? We can rush off to our meetings, to our family reunions, to our appointments, to our luncheons, and we can forget about people who are right in front of us who need Jesus, right? We need Jesus. You know, God wants us to reach out to people. He wants us to reach out to people anytime, anywhere, whenever, however, even in the midst of our insane schedules, he wants us to stop. Amen? Why would he want to do that? Because it's so important to God. Amen? The closing PowerPoint says, God used you to help point the way. You know, as we close, I want you to think about how you made your entry into the kingdom of God. How did you wind up in the kingdom? Can I suggest to you, God used someone. God used someone to take a risk and to approach you, right? God used someone to hand you the single greatest gift that you could ever receive in your life. Maybe it was a friend, it was a neighbor, maybe it was a teacher, a co-worker, maybe it was even your mom and dad. But God uses people, amen? God uses people. You know, here's a suggestion. If you've never done this before, why don't you send a letter of encouragement to that person, just thanking them and telling them, you know what, keep up the good fight of faith because your efforts are not in vain. Look what God has done. Amen? Isn't that a good thing to do? That last PowerPoint slide, just walk across the room. So I want to just take a few lines from Bill's book, Just Walk Across the Room, and give you a quote. And I want to see how this, I want to ask you, see how this quote strikes you, okay? Here it is, I'm just ending. From the book, Bill says, Jesus Christ knew that fulfilling his redemptive mission would be excruciatingly difficult, risky, downright defeating, and seemingly fruitless for us at times. But if you will just persevere, he might say the potential is colossal. Just think of it. One more treasure, a priceless human being, might be snatched from the clutches of a horrendous, lifeless eternity because of your work. So go. Go right now and bear witness. Sow the seed. Take the walk across the room. Leave what's comfortable for that which is eternally significant. Risk your life for this. Know that you will never regret your decision. Let's stand. Let's stand for closing prayer. You know, I've written out a prayer for us that I want you to agree with. And I think it's so important that we pray. So will you agree with me in prayer as we pray this? Father in heaven, Heavenly Father, thank you for the model of Jesus Christ, the one he set for us when he left his circle of comfort in heaven and he took on human flesh and he dwelt among us. Now, if Jesus hadn't made that walk, it's almost unimaginable of what our life would be like. But because he did walk, it's now our turn to learn how to take walks across the rooms. It's our turn. Father God, I pray that you will anoint these next 4 weeks in a supernatural way. I pray that you would turn every single timid heart here and turn it into a bold heart for you. Lord Jesus, help point us towards people who are outside our circles, people who need a divine touch from you. God, I pray that as our church, and I believe as a church in our city and throughout the world, is going to be moving into a new era of personal evangelism, personal outreach, that every single person in our church family will be opening to becoming a walk across the room type of person. To the glory and to the honor of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone would agree and say, Amen. Just keep your heads bowed and standing just for a minute. I want to ask a question. Maybe you're here. Have you received the greatest gift ever? Have you been introduced to the one who created you and has a divine purpose for you? Have you done that? Today you can receive the greatest gift called salvation through Jesus Christ. just by saying a very simple prayer. And if you haven't done that before, you can do that now. And I'm going to invite everyone to say this prayer out loud. Okay, are you ready for this prayer? This is a simple prayer. And if you say this prayer for the first time, this will be the most powerful prayer you will ever pray. Are you ready for this? Let's all pray out loud. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe in you. I believe that you shed your blood to pay for my sins on the cross. I believe that you died. I believe you rose again. You are alive today. Today, Jesus, I invite you, I receive you into my heart to be Lord and Savior of my life forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.